to find all the holiday gifts that are simply amazing that will also knock you off your feet, go ahead and check out Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything this holiday season and all year round when you use our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA, or simply click the banners in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com to get started. Hey everybody, what's going on? Exit interview Thursday once again. Actually, the third exit interview that we've done this week. Really getting into the swing of things here in Survivor Cambodia as we get down to our final seven. Today, we're going to be speaking with Joey Amazing. Joe Anglim is going to be calling in here to talk about his experience going out of the game after losing immunity for the second week in a row. This time, there is no Stephen Fishback to be blindsided, and Joe ultimately goes home. I know a lot of people are very upset around the Survivor universe today that Joe is out of the game. My mom included. My mom doesn't know if she can keep watching the show. She's very upset. She says she hates everybody that's left now because they took her Joey Amazing away. So she's very disappointed, but hopefully she'll come around and continue to watch the show moving forward. That's everybody's mom, I think, might be feeling the same way today as Joe is out of the game. So we're going to talk to Joe in just a minute. Of course, last night we did a great recap of the episode. Josh and I debated everything that was going on, really keying into what is Tasha going to do next? What's up next with this Women's Alliance? All that stuff and more on our Survivor Know-It-Alls from last night. And of course, today we're going to be speaking with Malcolm Freeberg is coming in. We're going to talk with him later on today, hear what he has to say about Joe, about Spencer, about Abby Maria that he played with, and much more coming up with Malcolm. And then we'll get your voicemails in today with Allie Lasher, who is the co-host of our MTV Challenge wrap up. She's a big Survivor super fan. We're going to talk with her on the voicemails podcast later on today. So a big Thursday coming up here on the podcast. Just before we get into Joe, I just want to also mention that our RHAP t-shirts and hoodies are back right now. You can check them out in our store. Go to robhasawebsite.com/RHAP shirts. We've got the hoodies in the RHAP bell design that we've had a couple times out before. Plus, Brian Malloy, our designer, is still commissioning a few new Survivor 31 shirts, including the Kelly Wentworth sneaky shirt. That's also available in our store. All of the season 31 shirts, those proceeds are going completely to the Give Kids the World Hearts of Reality charity and not to Rob Has a Podcast. So let's go ahead and get Joe on the line. Here he is. Joe, are you there?
Rob.
Joe, my mom is inconsolable right now.
Oh, no. we're going to have to send her a little Team Joe shirt or something. Make her Merry Christmas.
Yes.
I don't want to break her heart.
You're her favorite Survivor ever, and that includes me. So you're doing something
no.
right. Yes.
Oh no! I'm sorry. I didn't mean to knock you off the box, man. That's not good.
Joe, very nice to talk to you this morning. I know that you were really bummed out about how it went down at the Tribal Council this past episode. Going into that Tribal Council, did you feel like that you had a chance to stay?
I always gave myself that hope. Going in, I was about 50-50, just trying to be confident and have that wherewithal to keep it together because I was struggling at that point. Most of the rest of that afternoon after we got back from the challenge, even into tribal, is really blurry for me. I don't remember a lot of the details and just from being sick and going in and then expending all my energy, I was out of it completely. So I really didn't give myself too much confidence, I would say. And I think I just, I just kind of lost the handle on where I was at in the game. And when I got back from tribal, the vibe changed and it felt like I was going home a little bit. So yeah, it's tough. You gotta hope and pray that you're going to be there tomorrow. But once the votes are read, the decision is final.
Joe, let me commend you, first of all, because I didn't think that you would be this deep into the game. I thought that you would be, because you're such a target, I thought you would be out early.
Pre-merge, I believe.
I did. I thought so. I thought so, too. And it wasn't because Stephen Fishback told me ahead of time that he was gunning for you. I didn't even know that you were so high on his radar. But that being said, that here you are, you make it into the 30s, day 30s in this game. But can a player with a target as big as yours ever win this game in the new school era of Survivor?
Oh, Rob, Wow, that's the question of the season. I think I can. I think it really, I mean, I had a pretty good shot at winning this season, I would say. I think there's a little bit of that luck involved. I think there's a little bit of, you know, the players I was with, the ripple effect, and what you're able to accomplish in an hour or a day of strategizing. So I think it's there. I probably would have needed to not play as hard and just, you know, maybe give 60%, you know, 50-60%. But ultimately, I don't know. It's hard for me to do. I'm super competitive, and I want to go out there, like, you know, like Keith was saying, and compete. So it's the odds are not in my favor. I mean, there's definitely a chance, but I don't think I got good odds in Vegas. Let's put it that way.
Joe, bring me in. Let me be your survivor coach, because I'm telling you, here's what we need to do. Gain 40 pounds. Gain 40 pounds and steer away from the curve. Give nothing in the challenges. Be the first one out of every challenge.
Exactly. Or just pull a Fabio and just mumble fart my way through everything and pretend, make myself seem as less threatening as possible.
Now, you talked a lot about in this season about making adjustments in your social game between season 30 and season 31. But to me, I've always felt like you had a good social game, because everybody that came out of season 30, they all loved you. It seems like everybody that came out of this season all has nice things to say about you, maybe except for Abby Maria. So what was the social game adjustment that you made between the two seasons?
You know what? The social game adjustment was really more so about checking in with everyone as much as possible, but not on a game level, just on a personal level. Seeing where people were at as much as, and just kind of being there for them emotionally and as a friend. And I feel like I didn't connect with certain people as much in 30. You know, I think that there was, especially with, if I was feeling like was about to kind of cut off a friendship, and this happened to me this season quite a lot, of just how people's body language changes and how the dynamic of when they're going to vote you out, how you start to really feel it more so socially. I mean, that was what I meant when I say I'm going to change my social game, is making sure I know exactly where I'm at with everybody all the time, or try to more so. So, and I feel like I just didn't do that as much in my last season. I kind of shunned people a little bit when I was about to vote them out or, you know, cut the cord.
Why did things end up going badly with Abby Maria towards the end? Last night, she said that you were moldy. She said that you look like a clown. And a lot of people, it looks like on social media, are very angry with Abby Maria this morning. What happened between you and Abby?
That's okay. You know what? There was a lot. I mean, there's so much, my friend, that happened this season. I mean, I'm talking amazing, great tribals. And there's just not enough time. You know, put on record, I think we need to do like 3-hour online webisodes, extended versions with behind the scenes of Survivor. You know, $5 a month subscription. Let's get Survivor, you know, XD going.
That's a steal.
Yeah, me and Abby just we bashed it out at the tribal before. And I told her going right before tribal, I just kind of said, Abby, look, it's either me or you tonight. Cause she was freaking out and she didn't believe me. She just for some reason didn't believe me. And I said, no matter what I say to you tonight at tribal, I'm voting fish. No matter what I say, please vote fish. Cause it's either me or you. So, we blew it up at tribal. We got into a fight and I pretty much threw her under the bus, called her, you know, annoying and all these things. And I made her cry. It was terrible. I felt horrible. But it was, it was gameplay.
Yeah.
And blindsided fish. And we came back. I tried to console her. I really was trying to be genuine and console her, but she did not have any of it. So now me and her have this angst. And going into the next one, same kind of situation. I'm throwing her name out there. She gets wins. She ain't happy. We blow it up and I just changed my tune a little bit. I was almost complimenting her, but not. Like, and then she still took it, rubbed her the wrong way. So it was just, we just had a little bit of beef near the end because we're fighting first, you know, I'm fighting for my life in the game. So You know, no, I don't have any bad blood against Abby. I love Abby, but I'll never understand Abby. But that's a whole, you know, that's a whole different thing. But yeah, it's just, it's the game, man. It brings out your best and your worst colors. That's for sure.
Now, Joe, in both of your seasons, you got off to a hot start after the merge happens, where I believe in Worlds Apart, you won the first three immunities after the merge, and here you win the first four after the merge. But is having to go all out in those individual immunity challenges what ultimately caused you to run out of gas here?
I don't think so, to be honest. I got, as soon as my dad left and after the family visit, I got a nasty, nasty fever and couldn't hold anything down and just got super dehydrated. And I think that ultimately that took so much out of me.
Was it the barbecue?
Well, I don't think it was food poisoning. It was just like there was a nasty bug that was going around. Cause Spencer had it a couple days prior. And then I knew Steven had like his stomach bug, you know, that week before. So there was some nasty virus or, you know, flu bug going around. But, you know, just that feeling of you're clammy and you're weak and you're tired, that killed me. We're 30 days into this now. My body did not recover well. So I think that didn't help, but, yeah, I'm sure pushing my limits definitely didn't aid me and going farther either, you know, exerting myself for a couple hours on each challenge or doesn't waste a lot of energy.
No, Joe, coming into this post-merge, I thought you were in a pretty good spot sort of in the middle where both sides kind of needed your vote. But it seemed like at least initially you decided to go back to the guys from Bion. Mm-hmm. If you had to do it over again, would you have maybe gone with the people from Takeo that you made that 5-person alliance with after the first swap?
Honestly, I don't think so. I think I stick with the big powerhouses. And I mean, as soon as the merge hit, Sierra and Cass kind of came out of the gates and were running around all day, the day of the merge and after. And it was pretty obvious to everyone, like they were the ones running around the most. And so then immediately they're kind of being targeted in the groupthink. And so I just go back to the original Bion bond and I committed to Jeremy and Savage and Tosh, like the first couple days in the season, even Steven. I said, "Hey Steven, like I'll be your JT bro. Like let's do this." So I had connections and established relationships already that it was too early for me to go against the big majority. And I still wanted to play in the middle, but timing is everything, as you know. So I tried to just wait and figure out when I could, you know, where I was going to be in the middle and use myself as a swing.
During last week's vote, it seemed like everybody from Steven's side, Steven, Tasha, Jeremy, they all thought that you had the idol because they felt like you weren't scrambling around last week. Was that because you had confidence in the alliance that you put together, or did you consciously try to not scramble, not look for the idol to make them think you had the idol?
Both. Put your hands together. So if I'm not looking for the idol, not only does that kind of say I don't have it, but I'm looking, you just have to be very, you know, careful about when and how you look. And then I figured that my time was more valuable being around camp and being part of all these conversations that are going on, they're not looking for it. I mean, our beach is huge. This beach was massive and it was deep, like in terms of just the depth going back into the forest. So it could have been anywhere. And I'd been up and down that beach a lot and I hadn't found anything. So at this point in the game, I think the social aspect is much more important. Or, you know, I thought about making a fake idol, but I don't have the time aspect is huge for that. And if people notice I'm gone for a couple hours, same situation. They already know I might be having one or getting one, or if I come off that I don't, if I'm not looking, I don't have one. So, and Jeremy asked me a couple times too, he goes, "Yo, you got it, dog? Like you got the idol, man?" And I just kind of smile and wink at him. And I never told him, but I really stimulated in him that I had it. Mm-hmm. Too. So that also helped me as well.
Now, who did you feel burned by after this tribal council? You have Kelly Wentworth, who you were protecting in the pre-merge, and then it seems like she's really gunning for you once you get to the post-merge. You had Spencer, who I thought you guys were going to bro down. It looked like you guys were drawing stuff in the sand, and you were talking Joe language with one another. So is there anybody in particular that you felt like really betrayed you going into this tribal council?
Yeah, I was really upset with Spence and Jeremy. I thought me and Jeremy kind of had a good thing. I think I put more trust in Jeremy through the entirety of the game. You know, he's a good guy. I love what he was about, and I put a lot of faith in him in terms of our friendship and our alliance. And then Keith, I does one thing. I kind of, you know, Keith got left out of the vote with me wanting to get Abby, and I never went back to Keith before tribal, and, you know, ended up Keith voting Tosh because I went over to the girls and I'm saying, hey girls, we need to get Tosh out. She's connected to everybody and she's friends with Spencer and blah, blah, blah. But I was really, he got me good. great play on his part to, you know, completely convince me that he was with me. But, at that point I was, damn it.
Real quick, last couple of things. It seemed like on the show that you and Keith were working super close together. Was that actually true?
We were pretty locked in. That's why the girls didn't tell Keith that it was me, and they let him believe it was Tosh. Because, since the beginning, me and Keith have been at each other's side. So that was the one consistent thing throughout the entirety of the game was me and Keith's relationship. We'd been through it all. So it was a pretty locked in. We were a voting block. Myself and Keith were a voting block. I would say when Kimmy was around here, when Steven was around, you know, it was like Steven and Kimmy were a little voting block, and yeah, Tosh and Jeremy were a little voting block. And so everyone had their own little block, and me and Keith were definitely considered a block.
All right. Last thing before you go, would you play again? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Keep hope alive.
I totally would.
It'll be okay,
right,
Mom.
Tell your mom I said I'm sorry. I'll try harder next time, hopefully, if I get her next time.
All right, Joe. Hope you're doing good. Hope we see you at the finale in a couple of weeks. And all the best, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, man. Always a pleasure talking, bud.
All right. Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right. There he is. Joey Amazing back here on Rob Has a Podcast, and everybody always comes off of these seasons that he's on, and everybody loves playing with Joe. Just such a big target on his back, and I really don't know how to combat that, but that's one of the things I want to talk with Malcolm about later on today and see if he has any ideas on what Joe could be doing differently. That's going to be coming up in our podcast that I'm going to do in a couple of hours. But first, let's go ahead and bring in the man who has been studying the Survivor calendar to tell us what has been going on every single week in Survivor history. Here he is, Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob. You know, I think my new nickname is Jordan Amazing.
Jordan Amazing. Yes. Great. Here he is, Jordan Amazing, to talk about what happened on this week, the first week of December in Survivor history. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well.
Getting enough blood to your head?
I am. I was happy to see nobody got medevac tonight. I was kind of worried after the next time on Survivor from last week. The people who I wanted to be in the game are still there. So I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah. I was worried that thing was going to fall on somebody's head.
That's what I thought was going to happen too. And I'm even though, you know, I wasn't rooting for Joe, I did not want him to get medevaced, especially at this point in the game.
So luckily, Joe is fine and is on this exit interview podcast with you, Jordan Amazing. So yeah, we're going to get into what you have in store for us. But first, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Wix.com. Because if you need a website, why not do it yourself with Wix.com? Say you want to register the domain name JordanAmazing.com. You could go ahead and get your website set up and set up all these different things that happened on different days in history. You need to get the word out about this website. So why not do it with a stunning site from Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix will have something for you because Wix is used by more than 70 million people throughout the world, and you can do it yourself. You don't need to be a programmer or a designer. with hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, easy drag-and-drop features, and no coding needed. You could get that Jordan Amazing website live today. And best of all, it's free. Go to Wix.com, sign up for an entirely free account today, no credit card required, and it's easy. The results are stunning. Go to Wix.com, that's W-I-X.com, and get started today. All right, Jordan Amazing, what do you got?
We're going to go back 5 years ago. We are going to December 1st, 2010. This is 5 years ago this past Tuesday. And this is an episode that a lot of people actually on Twitter had suggested that I talk about this week. And I thought it was a pretty good idea. I know Alan Karnofsky was one of the people who all week was trying to get me to talk about this episode. So I gave in. And this is the episode where Nyanka and Purple Kelly quit after watching Gulliver's Travels.
Wow, 5 years ago today, and it was such a reckoning. It was such like a vitriol in the Survivor community. I feel like that was really the first time on social media, like people went nuts.
Yeah, people were really angry after this. I know a lot of people were talking about being angry because they were like, oh, these two girls stole my spot. I've applied to the show a million times, and they if they put me on, I never would have quit. I've never applied to the show. So the reason I really was angry, first of all, it kind of messes up the game when you have two people who quit pretty deep into the jury phase, or there were already three jurors. And the two people who went before this were Marty and Brenda, who were two people who I really enjoyed watching on this season. And if these two people had just quit before them, maybe they would have still been in the game. So I was not too happy with Nyanka and Purple Kelly. And I understand it was a very rainy season and there was terrible weather before that. But over 400 people have played Survivor now. Very few of them have quit. And, you know, most of these seasons, you get pretty bad weather.
Yeah. Luckily, this season, you had people who really wanted to be there. Even though the weather was probably worse here this season, nobody was talking about quitting. Even Steven, poor Steven, with severe gastrointestinal distress. And really, that whole Nyanka and Purple Kelly thing, it really made people very upset at the time. And perhaps that was the first time that people got really pissed off on social media. I wonder if, like, when Russell lost to Natalie, I feel like that might have been just, like, under the wire of when a lot of people were on social media and being activists about stuff.
That was a hot button issue too. But I feel like with the Russell thing, you had some people who deserved Russell, who felt Russell deserved to win. And then you had some people who said that, you know,
that
Natalie
was more of a debate where this is more of a one-sided, like, pitchfork type thing. And also I had started the podcast by this point. So I might've just been more aware of this at the point where people were like really angry of like, you know, Rob, why didn't you rip them a new one on the exit interview?
Yeah, I know. And you know what? I think you played it right in the exit interview. I mean, they're guests of yours on the podcast. You know what? People talk, say that Jeff Probst is sometimes too hard on the contestants. I think that he actually wasn't all that hard on Nyanka and Purple Kelly here. He still, as Nyanka said, smuffed their torches. I thought that he could have pulled the old Austin Taylor move with them where he just throws their torches down and tells them to get out of there. But he does smuff the torches. And here's the interesting thing about this. They go to the jury. Fabio, of course, wins over Chase 5-4, and they are two votes for Fabio. And I'm kind of happy with how this turned out. I was rooting for Fabio over Chase. But if they're not on the jury and, you know, there's a case to be made, maybe they shouldn't have been since they quit the game, Chase would have won 4-3.
Interesting. I never thought about it that way.
So very, very interesting stuff. And, you know, people's reactions during this. I mean, you have Alina sitting on the jury as the first jury member who's sobbing during tribal council. Marty and Brenda are just cursing and they're really angry. The other people in the game are just glaring at Nyanka and Purple Kelly, saying, how could you quit? Especially their allies who needed them as numbers. The one person who is just laughing throughout this thing is Fabio, which is really funny to watch. That's really on my rewatch of the season. It was I don't think I even thought about this when I was watching Survivor Nicaragua originally, but Fabio's loving this. He's just sitting back. He's laughing. He's laughing when Nyanka says smuffed. So that's a standout from Tribal Council that night.
Gulliver's Travels, Dan Lembo in a big chair, Nyanka and Purple Kelly quit. What a week it was 5 years ago, first week in December.
Very, very entertaining episode of that season. And now we're going to go 1 year later to November 30th, 2011. And that is 4 years ago. This is the final seven. So you have six members of the original Upolu tribe, which are Coach Sophie, Albert, Edna, Rick, and Brandon Hans. And then, of course, you have Cochran, who flipped to them at the merge. And here, this is the episode where Cochran is voted out of that season and where we really talk about this moment from based on Cochran's decision to flip, and maybe he should have stayed with his original Savaii members and risked going to Rocks. I don't think this is usually talked about as a strategic decision for Coach, but this is, I think, the episode where Coach lost Survivor South Pacific.
Whoa. Why do you say that?
Well, there was some talk on this episode of voting out Rick, who was someone who wasn't really too enthused with Coach. He wasn't the biggest Coach fan. He was kind of, he didn't get too much airtime, but he seemed to be pretty annoyed by him. So there was some talk between Coach and Albert, and it started actually with Cochran as well. And then Edna was in on a potential plan to blindside Rick. This would have put Sophie was not part of this plan. So there's it's maybe she would have been the next one to go, maybe not. But I think Coach could have really taken control of, I mean, he was in control, but he was in control with Sophie and Albert. Of course, he goes to the end and loses to Sophie, but he could have found himself in a final four with Albert, Edna, and Cochran. And if he gets to the end, I think with any of those combinations of three people, I'm pretty sure he would have won the game. I don't see Edna winning. Cochran isn't getting any of the Savaii votes on the jury. I mean, you even have Jim Rice out there who, if he saw him in a dark alley, would kick his ass.
Yeah, so, but you're not thinking fourth dimensionally, Jordan, because somebody is coming back from Redemption Island and it's Ozzy. And if Sophie doesn't beat Ozzy in that final challenge, then Ozzy is going to the final three and Ozzy will win Survivor South Pacific.
That is true. I did not think of that when I was planning this out, but there is a chance. I mean, who knows what would have happened in the next challenge? Maybe something crazy happens where a Cochran, you know, Cochran did almost beat Ozzy in the Redemption Island challenge. I doubt that would have happened in the game. And maybe that was some editing there. But
get Survivor Aramo and Cochran confused with Survivor South Pacific Cochran.
That's true. That's when he had all the confidence and he had just he got rid of the three amigos.
I'm not sure about that, but I do think that one of the challenges that Cochran won down the stretch in Survivor Aramo, I believe, is the final five challenge in Survivor South Pacific. So who knows? Maybe that Cochran was just really predispositioned to win that challenge whenever it comes up.
You're right. It is impossible to know. But what I do know is that Coach did go to the end with Sophie. And if he, you know, he lost. So if he got rid of Sophie at the next vote, he would have gotten rid of someone with a legitimate shot of winning the game, which we know because she did win the game. And he would have, I think, had a great chance against Edna, Rick, and with Ozzy. You know, Ozzy would have won coming from Redemption Island. And there's a very good chance with Ozzy's challenge prowess that he would have done that. But I think this would have been Coach's best shot because Sophie ended up being someone who the jury was able to really get behind.
All right. So who knows what might have happened in the alternate history of Survivor South Pacific. Is there anything else from this week, Jordan?
No, that is everything. And, you know, we have one more this week in Survivor history for this season. It's been a lot of fun and I can't wait to get to what we're going to be talking about next week.
All right. I will talk to you next week, Jordan. Amazing.
Yes, you too. And I hope that either Jordan Parhar or Clay Jordan doesn't steal that domain name.
All right. Follow Jordan Kalish on Twitter. He's at Jordan Kalish. We'll talk again soon, buddy.
You too.
Quick, give me a prediction. Jets, Giants this weekend.
Jets.
What's the score?
Jets 21, Giants 17.
I am scared out of my mind about the Giants. I think the Giants are going to beat the Jets this weekend.
That was an absolute homer pick. I'm a Jets fan. I had to go with them.
All right. Take care, buddy.
You too.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. This week in Survivor history, once again, for another week here on the podcast. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and start to get ready for the Malcolm interview. Looking forward to that today. Also, get your voicemails in. Go ahead and leave us your voicemails at robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Looking forward to hearing your comments on this interview with Joe on our webpage at robhaswebsite.com. Of course, you could subscribe to the podcast. Go to robhaswebsite.com /iTunes. And once again, thanks to everybody who's using our links this holiday season for Amazon.com. Much appreciated. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.
We met him in a season called Worlds Apart, and his cute man bun really stirred my heart. It's called Joga. J-O-G-A, Joga. Well, his version of yoga is a definite must. You don't want to do the creepy kind just like Vetus. It's called Joga. J-O-G-A, Joga. Jo-jo-jo-jo-joga.